And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm looking at a picture right now currently on my cell phone. A lady just sent me an image, and it's an image of a dime. And so I've enlarged it, and the dime, it says, it's a Liberty dime. It says, "In God We Trust," just beneath Roosevelt's side view there, or his image. And it says the year 2015. Oh, wait a second. That's not the reason she sent me a picture to talk about the dime. Just lateral to the dime, and of course, the dime is there for one reason, because it's supposed to show you the scale or the size of what's beside it. And so there's kind of a, oh my goodness, I'm enlarging it right now. To me, it looks like a, almost a perfect, image of the state of Virginia, if you looked at it on a map, but it's not the state of Virginia, it's a kidney stone. And as I enlarge this, this is about the most jagged, wicked-looking structure that a person could see exit their body. Okay, here's a background story. And she told me just now, not even 30 seconds ago, maybe a minute ago, that I could talk about this on the radio for the purpose of encouraging other people. And so I had a lady that came to see me this week, and if I don't get the story right, you know, I'll be pretty close to it because it's fresh on my mind. But a lady came to see me saying, "I've got a problem here. I've got this kidney stone that's lodged in my ureter, and the only option I'm given is to schedule a lithotripsy or a very expensive medical procedure." She said, "Is there anything that we can do to try to get rid of this stone?" Well, you already know the punchline because I'm telling you about it after the fact. So let's just say this was 3 or 4 days ago. And so, you know me, I probably went overboard giving her suggestions, but I always try to err on the side of giving a person enough information so they know what is my contingency plan if I have pain when it starts to pass. Of course, when I look at the stone, I think to myself, there is no way this rocky, jagged, pointed, crystallized stone is going to be able to ever come up, because it's like it's sharp. It looks like needles are all over it, or razor blades. I mean, this is not a round, smooth pearl from a clam or oyster. No, no, no. This looks like the sharpest, chunk of rock to come out of the body. Anyway, but she sent me a picture of this, and I'm extremely thankful. I love feedback. That's kind of what I live for. But anyway, she sent me a text this morning that says, "Only people who have had a kidney stone would understand that it isn't weird to be sending pictures of it to my doctor." I'm thinking I can quit drinking this gravel root now. Thanks for your help. Of course, me, you know, I said, "Who is this?" And she told me her name. You know, sometimes when you take care of more than one case of kidney stones during a week, you lose track. Either that or I wasn't awake while I was driving to Jacksonville. Anyway, one of the remedies, and I gave her lots of things to think about, but an herbal remedy called gravel root. I'm probably a little bit bigger fan of using the liquid form, because the liquid seems to be faster acting and a bit more precise, and the results are more efficient and better. So there's my sales pitch for liquid. Yes, you can do it in the form of a dried herb. I have just seen the very best results, so that's what I tend to go with. And so what I was concerned about is she described this stone to me before I actually have seen it. Now I have seen the little wicked sucker once it came out. But before I saw it, I was really concerned that it was going to get... But if these things are lodged for a reason. It's almost like something is stuck and it's not coming out. And so I thought to myself, I better tell her about Epsom salt. So in her specific situation, she had this big honking kidney stone wedged in the ureter. And the ureter is the tube that transports the urine. You know, the kidneys, they filter protein and debris and waste and toxins from your bloodstream. And then urine goes from your kidney down through the ureter, or the ductwork, or the tube that carries it to the bladder. And once the bladder reaches a critical mass, you go to the bathroom and the urine comes out. What's even more impressive is the size of the stone. Not only did it go from the ureter in the bladder, but it went from the bladder through the urethra, and she was able to catch it in a sieve of some kind or a straining device. I just think it's brilliant. I mean, I like knowing these things. But when I asked her, I said, did you use the Epsom salt? Because Epsom salt is very famous for helping to relax and open up all the ductwork of the body when you're trying to pass something. It's very difficult. I mean, throughout the ages, people have used these things historically for passing gallstones. If somebody had severe appendicitis, they might, or constipation, they might take Epsom salt to help relax and open up those smooth muscles. But she passed it. But when I sent her a text back, I said, hey, I'm really curious here. Did you use the Epsom salt like we talked about? And she said, no. I just want to see if the gravel root would work all by itself. I'm just kind of going, oh my goodness, what a brave woman here. But it passed. Of course, the one question I didn't ask if it hurt. That would be kind of stupid on my part. Anyway, that's a great story from this week. Anyway, if you'd like to, let me tell you, if you haven't heard this program before, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And it really is. It's just so much fun to be able to talk about things that are not toxic, that could actually help you. Now, I don't know how much money this saved the woman, but if she had to pay $20,000 out of pocket, what was it like? $9,000 for the surgical suite and $2,000 for the doctor. Anyway, you could add up all the numbers of every player involved, and I don't know, is it going to be $13,000 to $15,000 to get this stone removed? You know what a high-quality bottle of gravel root costs? You could probably get a really good one for about $28. How about that? How do you like them apples? Anyway, let's switch gears here. This program is Health Essentials. Yes, everyone knows it listens. I have a bias toward natural, safe, healthy remedies that are easy on the body. But isn't it interesting how gravel root, God has designed this plant called gravel root that's so good at helping to dissolve and break down kidney stones when they're stuck. Doesn't it let you know that He cares about us and our sufferings? Doesn't it? I had to push three times to get that button to work. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning to you, too.
I'm glad you didn't give up on me while I kept pushing and pushing to make it activate.
Oh. Well, the reason I'm calling is I have cellulitis in one of my legs.
How long has it been there?
It started, I didn't even realize it until Tuesday evening when I got home from work. But Tuesday morning when I got dressed, my leg was fine. There was nothing. I mean, nothing. When I got home, mm-hmm. It was just concentrated on the front of my leg, and now it's sort of wrapped around a little bit to the back of my leg.
Do you mean the lower leg just above the ankle, though?
Just above my below my knee and above my ankle, yes.
Okay, so that would be where the tibia and the fibula, the lower leg.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
I always like knowing details like locations and stuff like that. But okay, keep going.
And it's kind of concentrated at the front, right below my knee, and then it's concentrated on the back of my calf.
Is there any family history of clots at all?
No, not that I'm aware of. We do have diabetes in our family history, and I do have high blood sugar. I have been diagnosed with high blood sugar, but I don't take any medication. I've tried to eat better. I did the intermittent fasting where I lost almost 40 pounds.
Did
but I still
you
need
really?
To lose.
Oh, my goodness. What a good man. You really put forth the effort on that deal. That's great discipline. Way to go.
And I do the baking soda in my water every morning. But like I said, this just sort of happened. I did have a new shower scrubby, which I have thrown away. I don't know if I, scrubbed too hard and caused this infection.
Is there any chance you could have cut yourself with a razor?
No, not that. But I did, like I said, I did kind of scrub. You know, I may have scrubbed too hard with that scrubby.
Well, could you have maybe broken the integrity of your skin a little bit with a scrubby?
Well, it seems here lately my skin is very thin. I can just bump something and it, you know, will cause a place. So I didn't have anything that I didn't even scratch it. It's possible that, you know, with my skin acting like this, it's like, even if I get like a bug bite, it leaves a red spot.
Well, that's what I was fixing to ask you. Is there any chance that you could have been bitten by a chigger or a tick or a flea or an ant or a mosquito or anything?
I don't think so. I don't think
so. Well, usually you would see the location, like if you started scratching a small scabby area. Okay.
Right.
Is this pretty hot right now as far as temperature goes?
It's better. I kept it elevated.
Oh, it is better?
Well, it's a little better.
Well, that's still that's encouraging. Very, very good.
Well, I did go to emergency clinic or something, because I was afraid maybe it was a spider bite or something.
Well, did they give you antibiotics?
Weird. They did. They did.
So,
and I have to take it 3 times a day.
But did they do a blood test of any kind to determine if you had some type of active infection? They just kind of passed go and said, we're going to put you on antibiotics.
That's it. They just looked at it, said it was cellulitis, or they said vaginitis or something like that, but they thought it was cellulitis.
Well, cellulitis is due to a bacterial infection. To me, those are very, very scary.
Yes. It did scare me, so that's why.
Well, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, but you're just saying I need to take this very seriously to make sure I resolve it and get over it.
Yes, yes.
Let me give you... I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, no. I mean, the antibiotics is for 7 days, and this morning's my third day.
Okay, if I'm making up something that doesn't make sense or is not applicable to your situation, just tell me, say, hey, that's not me, scratch that topic and move on to the next one, Dr. Morgan, and I will.
Okay.
But here's what I want to say, and can I just have permission just to speak real freely with you?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, one of the problems with cellulitis in the leg is, besides the blood sugar issue that you mentioned, that's a big deal to me right there. Number two... Whatever happened or whatever transpired, what my thoughts go to is that most likely that a lot of the fluid in your leg became very stagnant. And one way of saying this is when you have less than adequate blood flow, it doesn't wash things clean. And so when you have stagnant blood in the lower part of the leg, that would be the circumstances that would make it pretty easy for cellulitis to occur. So, believe me, I'm not scolding you, but do you routinely go for walks frequently?
I haven't exercised it. I did it the first the well. I did get it like a trampoline, one of those small trampolines.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't. I wasn't.
Can you send me a video of doing a flip on that small trampoline?
That would be funny.
Well, I like laughing. No, I'm only joking. Well, no, that's good. Well, what I want you to do is, can you get on that trampoline and just do a little bit of very gentle stuff? Because you've got to get that blood flowing and the lymphatic fluid flowing. Because any time that you have stagnation, that is a recipe that's ripe for bacterial infections. Because that's what bacteria do. They try to feed and eat on waste and debris that's collecting and building up. The next thing... Do you mind if I just tell you several things here?
Sure, yes.
Okay, obviously you're not right here where I can examine your leg, but what I'm going to tell you is, if you would take advantage of what's called Epsom salt, if you took like a, and you can do this any way that you want, if you have a bathtub, I realize now, not everybody has a bathtub. I think my son has
one.
Well, you do have one?
We have a bathtub.
Do you, can you easily get in and out of a bathtub without, you know, hurting your leg?
Yes.
Well, what I would do is I'd probably put 2 heaping cups, maybe even 3 of Epsom salt, and just make the water fairly warm. That may not appeal to you, but most women would say they prefer hot water over cold water. So if you would just soak every day for the next 3 days, let's see if we can help assist your body in pulling some of that toxic debris out. The other thing I would tell you to do is, if you could just set your mind that you're going to start walking just very gently. I'm not talking about any crazy exercises like, you know, CrossFit or something that would be too much for your body. But if you would just get out and start walking and moving, what you're doing is you're flushing out these pockets of stagnant blood and stagnant fluid that's accumulating that's leading to an infection. So if you set your mind that you're going to start walking, you're going to go, okay, I'm seeing a huge difference here. The other thing, the other thing that's brutal, but it works. I'm already starting to laugh a little bit because I'm thinking this lady is going to think that you're nuts. She's not going to ever listen to you again. She'll never trust you under any circumstances. But if you had a 5-gallon bucket, you would put water in that and then put several trays of ice and then insert that particular leg in that ice cold bucket of water. Yes, it will be a shock to your system. What's the closest town that you live by?
Oh, I live in Tyler.
Oh, yes. I'm in Jacksonville, so I would hear a scream all the way from Tyler, and I go, what is that high-pitched sound? That's right. It's her inserting her leg into ice-cold water. But if you did that, your body will say, oh, my word, we are fixing to freeze to death. We better increase blood flow and circulation. And you know how your skin would become beet red by submersing it into cold water?
Uh-huh.
I can tell you right now, if you do those things, your body will start cleaning all that stuff out as fast as possible. It takes upwards to 10 minutes. I don't think I've ever had one person call me and say, I enjoy this. I love this. Thank you, Dr. Morgan. This is a brilliant recommendation, but they always agree with the results. And so that's what you have to focus on. The results are going to be that you're going to be in a much better place if you do this every day for about a week.
Okay.
Your body's going to clean.
Once a day?
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would probably do if it were me is I would take the fresh, you know what I spent 10 minutes looking for this morning and I couldn't find it, but I read an article this week about this amazing new discovery about how lemon juice added to food reduces toxic bacteria like you would find in food poisoning, and it kills viruses. And I think the virus that they said specifically it kills very, very well is called the Norwalk virus. And so maybe years ago I read a story about this cruise ship where 700 people on this cruise line developed gut-wrenching projectile vomiting and diarrhea because it was from the Norwalk virus. And they had to shut the ship down and sterilize it after everybody got off of it because they had basically a large percentage of all the passengers were like deathly sick with this Norwalk virus. But they're showing that lemon juice, lo and behold, kills it. And I thought, Roy, you got to find that so you can read that new scientific study. But I didn't find it. I was going to try to give some. But if it were me, oh, my goodness, you want to start cleaning your body from inside out? The answer is yes. I already know that. If you'll start taking the juice of a fresh lemon, squeeze it in water or herbal tea, and drinking that a couple times a day, oh, my goodness, you're going to be in a better place. But what I would do if I had cellulitis, I'm not saying this is a medical treatment that's been proven, but I would squeeze fresh lemon juice and rub it on my legs. Is it sticky?
Okay.
Yes.
I've been doing the silver on it, the silver gel.
Oh, that's good. That's a good call. You did great. That's brilliant. I wish I'd thought of that.
Oh, that.
Wait a second. I'm gonna rewind the program and recommend the gel silver. That way, I can appear smarter than I really am.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
Well, that's how I found out about the silver is from you. So.
Oh, okay. Then I'll take credit then. No, I'm just teasing about that. No, you did very good because at the end of the day, you've got to find a positive action to take no matter what situation you've got. And cellulitis can be pretty bleak at times. The other point, and this is not Roy trying to be super negative, but if this is not solved completely, it's going to keep coming back over and over and over again. And
oh
so, well, I know you don't want it to happen again. So when you do a good job of taking care of this thoroughly, so when you, I don't know what neighborhood you live in, but is it safe to go for a walk in your neighborhood?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You don't have like, I just read a story that Barnum and Bailey Circus, one of their train cars just humped over right there in Tyler. and it was full of lions and tigers and hyenas. You're not worried about those in your neighborhood, are you?
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, well,
I'll send my husband out first to check.
You know what? That's a brilliant plan. You could say, if you can walk to the end of the street and back, then I'll, there could be a lion in the street. But if you start walking every single day, maybe even twice a day, I would be perfectly fine with 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, or even better, 30 to 45 minutes nonstop, just slow moving. What you're doing is you're flushing out all that stagnant debris. And yes, I know I'm making it sound kind of general and vague, but there's a whole lot of toxins in that lower leg if you've got cellulitis. Now, that's not me trying to criticize you. I'm just calling it for what it is. So we got to flush those things out. So the Epsom salt bag, okay, the bucket of ice water for 10 glorious minutes of fun. See, I know what's going to happen. You're not going to scream. You're going to start laughing easily. You're going to be going, oh, my goodness, this is great. I cannot believe he gave me such a... You'll totally laugh. Maybe.
Hey, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to try it.
But you can
eat. I don't like this.
Oh, no. And the thing of it is, you've got to have closure. That means complete resolution. You don't want to just get halfway better, and as soon as the antibiotic wears off, you're going, oh, my word, it's coming back with a vengeance. I don't like that. So if you'll rub lemon juice directly onto the skin, I don't care how you do it. Your husband could, have you sit on the back of his pickup and just drip fresh lemon juice like he's, basting asparagus or something. Just any way that you want to do it. But if you'll do that, I think that's what I would do, is I would put fresh lemon juice on it. And yes, there is always the potential that it's going to sting and burn like hellfire for just a little bit. Haven't you ever had lemon juice get into a paper cut?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It catches your attention pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, I can do the lemon juice, and then I can do the silver. That would soothe it, maybe.
Well, this is a better plan than having a lion eat your leg, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
we'll go with this plan.
Okay.
But then again, when you take a step back and you reevaluate, you're going to go, okay, what can I do to help myself here? Maybe I could have one big green salad, and I could put anything that I wanted that's good for me, and I could start avoiding sugar. The number one predictor of an infection that doesn't go away is going to be the amount of sugar that a person consumes. And you already told me earlier that your blood sugar is just a smidgen high, so let's help that. So just go with meat and vegetables. I don't see how you can go wrong by doing that.
This is my wake-up call. I've got to do something different.
Do you know what I think I would recommend to your husband? He's probably not listening, but if he would go out with his spear and make sure he wears his loincloth, he needs to run through the forest, and if he can find some broccoli that's not looking toward him, he can stab it and bring it home and feed it to you.
Okay.
The broccoli hunters are very underrated in our society, but I have a lot of respect for them.
Okay.
Broccoli's a tough quarry.
We will get a lot.
And then make sure, I need to see a video of him that I can post on YouTube of him hunting broccoli. I would be interested in seeing that.
Okay.
Well, I wish you the very best. You can do it. You can do all this. You can turn it all around.
I will do it.
Good girl.
I'm going to take pictures and show you the results.
I can't wait to see him.
Okay.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If no one wants to call, I'm going to talk about broccoli. Now, broccoli is a member of what's called the cruciferous vegetable family. And let me just share this with you. Very, very simple ideas here. I was just trying to tie in and talk about broccoli. And so broccoli is a member of the cabbage family, and in that family, they're cruciferous vegetables. You got everything from kale to Brussels sprouts to cabbage. You got broccoli, cauliflower. I think asparagus is in there. What else can I add to the list? But what I want you to know is there is a very specific medically researched compound that's found in broccoli called I had already butchered it. Sorry, let me start over. Glucosinolates. Glucosinolates. Specifically, the one that gets the most press, if you were to look this up yourself or Google it, is called indole-3-carbinol, and another one called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane, that's S-U-L-F-O-R-A-P-H-A-N-E, sulforaphane. The reason this can be really critically important, and just hear me out on this, is because when you consume broccoli, all of a sudden your body starts detoxifying toxic forms of estrogen. The form of estrogen that's always linked to women having breast cancer is called 2-hydroxyestrone. I know that's a little bit technical, but I want you to know that there is a solution. And so the solution could be eating broccoli. Now, a little bit more of sulforaphane, the chemical identified in broccoli. Actually, what I should say is, sulforaphane was first identified in what are called broccoli sprouts. That's where they take the seeds of broccoli and they sprout them. In a petri dish by scientists at Johns Hopkins University of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland, these researchers were investigating the anti-cancer compounds present in broccoli when they discovered, now get this, that broccoli sprouts, not so much broccoli. Now, broccoli has this, but not as much as broccoli sprouts. They contain anywhere from 30 to 50 times the concentration of these protective chemicals that are found in matured broccoli plants. That is the part that we normally eat. In fact, when they fed sulforaphane-rich broccoli sprout extracts to laboratory rats, that's not cruel, which were exposed to these carcinogens that definitely cause cancerous tumors to form, they noticed it greatly reduced the size, the frequency, and the number of tumors they developed. Now, human studies with sulforaphane have shown that these compounds stimulate the body's production of detoxification enzymes, and they exert very strong antioxidant effects. Now, I'm trying to make it sound simple, but when you eat broccoli or broccoli sprouts, you're helping your body detoxify from the inside out. So what you eat makes a huge difference. And so if you eat broccoli, guess what? Your body starts becoming cleaner on the inside. Is having a clean body on the inside, is that compatible with living? Yes, it is. Is having a dirty, dirty blood, is that compatible with health? No, it is not. The other compound that's found in broccoli is called indole-3-carbinol. It's also a very important cancer-fighting compound, and it's been shown to arrest both breast and prostate cancer. See, you thought I was only going to talk about women and breast cancer today, but, you know, whatever women in North America experience in breast cancer, well, the flip side of the coin is men are going to have that in prostate cancer. It also has been shown to increase the ability of the liver to detoxify toxic compounds. I tell you what, I should probably camp out on that information just for a little bit, but I'm just going to say it simply. If you could just think in your mind right now, ask yourself a question. Could I start eating broccoli? Will I eat broccoli? I've had some people say, well, what if I put cheese on top of it? Well, if you get the broccoli, I think that's a good call. Other people might say, what about salt and pepper? And I'm going, love it. Excellent. If somebody says, I need to put hot sauce or Tabasco on my broccoli, go for it. One of the best of all time, though, is just putting grass-fed butter on the broccoli. So if broccoli has been boiled, it's on your plate, it's ready to go, it's hot, put some butter on it. I know I sound like a broken record, but you know what the studies show on this? If you put a pat of grass-fed butter on your broccoli, you'll absorb about 15% more nutrients than if you didn't put any butter at all on it. So you've got to have some fat just to absorb your nutrients. That's a home run right there. So I just read to you that increases the ability of your liver. What if somebody has a fatty liver? That might be 50% of all Americans right there. Well, if you have a fatty liver, we should choose to eat some broccoli, shouldn't we? But now this is new information to me, but I still find this very, very intriguing. There is a virus known as the human papillomavirus, and this is the one that is always linked toward women developing cervical cancer. Well, isn't this interesting? The indole-3-carbinol, that's the compound specifically that's found in broccoli or broccoli sprouts, guess what it does? It decreases the growth. I don't know how to word this. If you eat sugar, it causes the human papillomavirus that leads to cervical cancer to grow, but if you eat broccoli, it shrinks. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the other one. Let's eat the broccoli so we can make it shrink. Basically, if you can cause a virus to shrink or a tumor to shrink, doesn't that mean there's rejuvenation taking place and healing taking place? I think that's a pretty good interpretation. Now, some early studies that were done on broccoli, they suggest that in order to cut the risk of cancer in half, the average person would need to eat about 2 pounds of broccoli or similar vegetables per week. That's 2 pounds over, let me see, if you had 3 meals a day. Let me say it differently. If you had 2 meals a day. 2 meals a day times 7 days, that's 14. That can't be that hard to get 2 pounds of broccoli. I mean, that may sound impossible. Now, listen to this right here. Because the concentration of sulforaphane is much higher in the broccoli sprouts than in mature broccoli, the same reduction in risk theoretically might be had with a weekly intake of just over an ounce of sprouts. Could you imagine that you just put 1 ounce of broccoli sprouts on your salad and eat them once a week? Bam, you're done. Now, get this right here. To me, I find this so intriguing and so interesting. The compound called sulforaphane, I know I mispronounced that, forgive me. That's a sulfur compound. It's found in broccoli. It's proven to be very effective in helping the body get rid of Helicobacter pylori. If you haven't heard, if you test positive for Helicobacter pylori, and usually here's a scenario. You go to the doctor and say, I have acid reflux, I have GERD, I have heartburn, indigestion, I'm in bed at night. The acid goes from my stomach all the way up my esophagus. It burns me. I'm coughing. I have an acid taste in my mouth. Well, that's reflux. And so if a doctor does a lab test, they may say, you have Helicobacter pylori. Well, this is, to me, very helpful. So they would probably say, I think we've solved your problem. You've got an ulcer, or you've got H. pylori, so let's give you an antibiotic. Well, one of the reasons why this may be logical to take an antibiotic for that on one level is because when people test positive for H. pylori and they have ulcers in their stomach, they usually have a 3- to 6-fold risk of developing stomach cancer. And that's not good. You also have a whole bunch of other problems that can happen. You can have chronic gastritis. You can have esophagitis. Like I said, heartburn, acid reflux, indigestion, any way you want to say it. But when you consume sulforaphane that comes from broccoli or broccoli sprouts, it tends to do away with all that. Isn't that interesting? What do you think about the idea of the body being able to help itself if you just create the right circumstances for it to heal? Well, I like that very much. Also, you may not know this, that broccoli is also a very rich source of lutein, which has been shown to have anti-cancer effects. It also has been shown very helpful in preventing the development of age-related macular degeneration, as this particular carotenoid, meaning the lutein, is very concentrated in the retina, where it acts to prevent from toxic damage to your retina or your macula. I'm going to read this one thing to you. I'm going to make it really, really fast, and then we're going to go back to the phone lines. This program is Health Essential. The phone number is 903-586-5257, but hold off just for 1 second because I want to go straight to cabbage just for a moment. And I like this recommendation right here. one of the American Cancer Society's key dietary recommendations to reduce the risk of cancer is to include cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, and you got to eat them on a regular basis. I think that's a great, great recommendation right there. So what's the reason for this recommendation? Well, the cabbage family of vegetables contains more phytochemicals with demonstrable, according to the study, anti-cancer properties than any other vegetable family. Maybe you didn't know that, but they have more nutrients and more phytochemicals that prevent cancer than any other. So you're probably asking yourself, should I start eating cabbage or broccoli or cauliflower or Brussels sprouts? Yes. Okay, there's a bunch of other ones, but let me just cut to the chase right here. The anti-cancer effects of cabbage family vegetables have been noted in population studies. Consistently, the higher the intake of cabbage family vegetables, the lower the rates of cancer, particularly the colon. That is not a good one. Prostate, lung cancer, breast cancer. Actually, just those that I mentioned right there. Colon, lung, prostate, and breast cancer. Those are the big ones anyway. They go on to say that the glucosinolates in cabbage work primarily by increasing antioxidant defense mechanisms as well as improving the body's ability to detoxify and eliminate harmful chemicals and hormones. I don't know if you've ever heard of this concept, but if you were to get a diagnosis of cancer, you've got to think, toxin, toxin, toxin. How do I get rid of them? So here's one solution. Eating cabbage or broccoli is one of the ways that you help assist your body in detoxification. Specifically, the indole-3-carbinol, or I3C, has been shown to increase the rate at which estrogen is broken down through the liver's detoxification pathway by 50%. Folks, I cannot make this stuff up. Your liver can do a 50% better job of detoxifying harmful hormones and chemicals and poison if you only eat cabbage or broccoli or cauliflower or Brussels sprouts. Now let me say this and I'll go right to the phone lines. Thanks for your patience. Cabbage has also been shown to be extremely effective in the treatment of peptic ulcers. Dr. Garnet Chaney from the Stanford University School of Medicine and other researchers in the 1950s, I know, that's 70 years ago, I don't think that Dr. Chaney's probably still around if this was 70 years ago. He clearly demonstrated that fresh cabbage juice is extremely effective in the treatment of peptic ulcers, showing a measurable effect usually in less than 7 days. I can tell you what I think. If you were desperate, if your stomach's killing you, get a juicer, run some cabbage through it, drink that and nothing else, and see if your body doesn't rise to the occasion to heal like it's never healed before. That would be impressive, wouldn't it? Let me try to go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You are one persistent woman. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I wasn't the only one. There was.
Oh no no no.
There was other people.
Well, how are you today?
I'm doing very good, very blessed. Before I ask you what it is I'm calling you for, I wanted to let you know, and I know she's listening because we listen to you every morning. My mom makes what we call the green soup, and she puts everything except for cauliflower.
That's because it's white.
In what you're talking about. Yeah. But she makes it with bok choy, asparagus, broccoli,
Hang on just a second. I got to get a pencil and pen now. Tell me your mother's physical address. I'm just curious. And what time is the soup going to be ready today? Around 12?
She'll hurt me if I do that, but next time we're coming your way, we'll have to bring you a jar.
Well, I'm guessing so. Oh, that's great.
But, hey, the thing about this, you can add any meat, even sardines to it. It is fantastic.
Well, what's your favorite meat to add to it then?
Actually, I held off for the longest because sardines, and I just couldn't bring myself. It's it. Everybody that tries the sardines with it, that is my favorite with it.
Are you serious? Well, how does she cook it? Does she use water or chicken broth or some what?
Oh, chicken broth, seasonings. Yeah, when I bring you the jar, we'll bring you the recipe.
Oh, man, today is my day. This is Roy Day. Everything is going right today. This is great. Do you know where my physical address is? I'll give it to you.
Oh, yes. I've been to you. My question is, I think you mentioned something last Saturday, but I couldn't pull up the podcast, and it got my curiosity. Little history, quite a while back, and I know it had to do with rubbing or too much shaving and stuff, boil into my arms, boils in my eyes from taking off makeup, stuff like that, and it was horrible, horrible.
I finally figured
out what it was, and so something about my body, the repetition of a lot of rubbing, I guess, you know, too much shaving every day would do that, the eye makeup every day. So it's like every other day or every third day, and it quit.
So that solved it.
Well, that solved that. But when I get to working, and usually when it's hot, and I'm not going to say areas, but a lot of walking, rubbing stuff,
yeah.
I don't get boils, but I'll get a bad place. It's almost like a boil, and it's sore and stuff.
I think we'd call it the same thing. It just may be a lesser evil, but it's probably the same thing.
I think so too.
Well, you know what people used to use.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, a long time ago, people would call those risins.
Yes, I think that's what it is. Now, one time I did get a 5-head carbuncle, and I prayed to the Lord, I never get that again. Oh my word!
Are you kidding?
I thought I was going to come unglued.
That's what the Philistines got the joy of when they captured the Ark of the Covenant in battle.
Well, they shouldn't have done that.
I think they learned their lesson because they sent it back on a fresh, brand new cart with two milk cows.
Yeah, I would too, and give them everything else I had.
Yeah, well, they made their golden images of boils and mice to send back as a sin offering. Whew. Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Gracious. Have you ever tried just putting raw honey on that area to help it to heal very fast?
Well, actually, I hadn't done the honey part, but I was going to say that over time, I've tried different things and stuff, and I found out, and it's not going to sound good, but the fastest, because like I said, it's areas that I needed to...
Yeah, they're delicate areas.
That, yeah.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I need it to go away fast or I can't function.
No,
so
you could.
I would open it when it does get a top to it. I'd open it and then put castor oil. Of course, then I'd just have to not do anything for a while, but it would go away the fastest. But I'm
with castor oil.
To know if there's anything. I was thinking last week that you mentioned something about somebody boils or something, that they could take something to help with that their system.
Well,
I don't think
you're going to have to forgive me for being so blunt, but when there's boils that come up over and over again, or a staph infection, it's probably because there's a little bit too much debris on the inside. And sometimes I'll recommend, if a person can, use a sauna, because that... the toxins just roll out of the body so fast with a sauna, an infrared sauna. But if you don't have that, one of the most important minerals of all time is called zinc.
I've been taking that, but I can only, it's weird. I've tried it morning and evening. I can only take it at lunch, and I can only take a half of one. So I'm trying to get it more, because it makes me nauseous,
well, let me,
even
let me,
with lunch.
Well, I don't want that to happen. Let me tell you a study that I read years ago that has just always stood out in my mind. Okay. The organism that causes these boils is called staph. I don't mean Aaron's or Moses' staph. I'm talking about a staph infection. But this particular organism, when they inject this organism in mice, they know what's going to happen. This mouse or rat is going to be filled with boils and carbuncles. And so they tried something that's never been done before. And I know this is going to sound weird, and I'm thinking that you can figure this out, but we're going to talk about it. But they tried something they've never tried before. They said, what would happen if we put like a salt block in the cage with the mice and let them lick it as much as they want to? You know, like a chunk of salt.
Yeah.
Who knows? They could have gone to Tractor Supply and got a big salt block that they put out in the pasture for a cow. Yeah. I do think I have had a couple of patients that were tempted to jump the fence and go out there and push the cows out of the way and start licking it. But anyway.
I'm probably one of those.
But what happened was, in these mice, the ones that licked the salt block as soon as they injected them with the infection, they noticed, they said, what's happening here? We don't get this. It's almost as if these mice are craving salt like they never had before. We've never seen this. And forgive me for being blunt, but what they would do is they would harvest the mice, and they would try to find out what did their body do with the salt. And so what happened was, the mice that freely licked salt as much as they wanted, it's almost like they intuitively or instinctively knew exactly what to do to help themselves, this salt would go exactly to where the boil is, and it would start to contain it. And so the ones that had no salt, oh my goodness, they died from boils so fast. But the ones that consumed salt, they had the greatest survival rate. I'm not saying it was 100% survival. The other thing is, the lady that just called, she came up with a very, very brilliant plan, because I think I've mentioned in the past before that a lot of the antibiotics that are used to treat boils and staph infections are becoming less and less effective. And you've probably heard of an MRSA, which is a methicillin-resistant staph infection. And so she was using colloidal silver. But they have shown in very interesting studies that when antibiotics completely fail to work, if they can just get the person to take a little bit of colloidal silver, all of a sudden the antibiotic starts working much better again at helping to defeat the infection. And so if you were to go to, say, the health food store today and pick up a bottle of colloidal... Oh, you already have some?
I have some, but I never thought about it for that.
Well, but that's what I want to lead you down to using that. But I like the kind that's 10 parts per million concentration.
Okay.
And so I think your body can take this silver. I mean, haven't you ever heard of little kids when they're first born, in order to prevent gonorrhea, which would cause the eyes to go blind, they put silver in their eyes. All newborn babies, they get silver in their eyes when they're born.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Well, if you go into labor later today and you're in the hospital, just remember what I told you. They're going to be putting silver in your baby's eyes.
Well,
you won't be
if
taking...
If I go into labor, it's going to be another one of those, God did it.
Isn't it true that your husband's name could be Abraham?
No.
Not, okay. Well, if you would consider 10 parts per million of the colloidal silver.
Okay.
That would be very,
taking
very good.
Putting it on it, or both?
Both, internally and externally.
Okay.
But I think when you've got an issue on the skin, you've got to have some salt in your diet. It's just nuts not to have some good salt. Celtic salt, Celtic salt.
Oh, wow.
Redmond sea salt.
Salt. And I used to be a saltaholic. I mean, I drowned everything in salt. And I've learned what you said about that, usually a lack of zinc.
Exactly.
Need to beef up my zinc more.
Well, and those things all work together.
Because I crave and salt all the time. Well, I'm a 24/7.
One of the oldest remedies of all time when it comes to boils or carbuncles is eating raisins. Now, I don't know that I've pursued that topic, but I believe it's true just from my own experience of dealing with so many people that, you know, eating raisins, it has a tremendous purifying effect on the body. I don't know if you've ever heard the old remedy for arthritis is called eating 9 gin-soaked raisins every day to cure your arthritis. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have a friend that did that, and I asked them, and they did it for a while, but... to me, it seems like the gin counteracts the arthritis because it makes your joints stiff.
Well, and it may be in some people. That would probably point toward their kidneys are very, very weak along with their liver. But if the gin-soaked raisins help, probably the alcohol is going to act like a solvent to remove the medicinal properties from the grapes, I mean the raisins, or the skins.
Oh.
So I think it helps draw out the medicinal value, just like... that story I told about the woman this morning passing the big honking kidney stone, used gravel root, but of course they used, I think it was like organic cane molasses alcohol, which I don't know if that makes a huge difference, but alcohol is a solvent. It helps remove and dissolve the medicinal properties of a plant. And so, anyway, maybe that was a bad analogy about the gin-soaked raisins. I'm not recommending you
that. No, I didn't know that, and I'll try to come up with a different way than gin, but I didn't know that it drew out the properties, so that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, no, thanks for being open with that. Now, the point that I'm getting to is, if you have them in a delicate region of your body, and I'm not going to go any further than that, then that probably means the kidneys need a little bit of scrubbing and cleaning. And so historically, that's what people have used to clean the kidneys. They've used grape juice, or they've used grapes or raisins.
Okay. Now, I have cut way back on those just because of the sugar content, because
unfortunately,
they're not the same way that God created them. They've hybrided them so much to where they're more sugar than... what about taking grapeseed capsules and something like that?
That's that or the other flavonoid that's found in grape skins is called resveratrol.
Yes.
Yes. And so have been shown to increase blood flow and circulation. Very, very good for the heart.
Oh, you got me on that one. Okay.
Okay, well, it's just something to think about.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Help, and I'll do my best to get the green soup to you as soon as possible.
Well, if you don't, I will be so, so upset. Thank you
so
much.
You.
I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you.
You bye-bye. Too. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. We've got a few minutes left, but we can use them well. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I'm facing a TURP procedure in the near future, and that's a prostate procedure, and... Mm-hmm. Everything else you've told me has been magic, so you got any magic for that?
You mean to help you with the TURP procedure?
Prevent it.
Oh, well, boy, that's a tall order, buddy. One thing that I could recommend, actually, let me give you 3 or 4 different ideas. And do you have a pencil handy?
I do, and it's ready.
Okay. There's a type of a bath called a sitz bath, and usually the way that's spelled is S-I-T-Z, sits. At least that's how I say it from Texas. So if you would look up a sitz bath, that is something that is shown to be very, very beneficial. Let me give you 2 or 3 more ideas nutritionally. There is a substance called bee pollen. You know when the honeybee goes from one flower to another, to a tree, to a plant, to a vegetable? It picks up the seeds of the plant. It's called pollen.
Mm-hmm.
And so pollen, it can have a very, very good benefit upon the prostate. I don't know that I can explain all of it to you, but if you were to look up pollen and start taking some of it, see if it gives you some momentary relief or see if there's an improvement.
Sounds good.
The other two things that I'm going to recommend strongly is if you're able to walk every day, walking to increase blood flow and oxygen to the prostate is going to be a home run. And the other one is called Kegel exercises for men.
A what?
They're called Kegel exercises. I'm going to try to spell that. Okay, if you were to go on a website called YouTube, I think most people haven't heard of it because it's just a very small, insignificant website that no one's heard of. But I like to go to it. I'm just joking about that. You've heard of YouTube, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
But if you type in K-E-G-E-L, Kegel exercises for men, I have seen men that were very persistent. You don't do them one day and the wake up the next and say, okay, am I completely a new man today? No, you've got to have faith to press on and to keep trying those over and over again. They're going to be difficult at first, but if you'll practice getting a handle on Kegel exercises, that may change your world for the better.
I can give that a try. I'm a cripple, so the walking is kind of hard to do.
Well, you won't be able to do that as easily, but if you do, you can do the Kegel exercises, though. At least go on YouTube and type in, how do I do Kegel exercises for a man?
I'll do that.
Good. Give that a shot. Let me know what happens.
I'll do it.
Thank you much. All right, there's time for just one more quick phone call. I think I have approximately 2 minutes left. The number's 903-586-5257. I butchered it. 903-586-5257. Other elements that have been shown to be very beneficial would be zinc and iodine for the prostate. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a 36-year-old grandson that is losing his hair on top of his head and his crown. What can I tell him to do?
He has what's called an upregulated alpha-5 reductase enzyme. And so he's got to cut back on sugar consumption, and he's got to start taking zinc.
Okay.
Does he drink beer?
Yes, he does.
Well, beer contains hops. And it acts like it stops that enzyme from working right, so he's converting his testosterone into what's called dihydrotestosterone, and that'll do it every single time on the top of the head. So, So I'm not trying to judge him over the beer deal. That's not what I'm after. But you know what he might do? He might switch to a beer that's made from sorghum instead of one made from hops.
Oh, okay.
So that may be an option. That might be a play that we can try.
Okay, I would tell him.
Of course, you never know. I mean, when somebody goes, you know what? I think I could switch to this if it meant that I could still do this but not have the negative side effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, all you can do is suggest it, see if he likes it. He might try it.
Okay.
He'll probably thank you by coming over and washing and waxing and detailing your car for you today.
And, well, I need that today.
And he'll sweep your front porch.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview, and Frankston, and Reese, and CUNY. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week at 7 o'clock in the morning, which most people say 7 o'clock is the best time. I'm really just joking. They don't.